There was only one reason only that I did that.
Well, there's two, really. One, we don't have any video, so I needed something else to perk your minds up. And I'm hoping that from now on, every time you hear that song, you're going to think about these words of hope that come from Jeremiah. Because that song has absolutely nothing to do with Jeremiah. As a matter of fact, the words there, nobody really knows much about it, but according to the songwriter, they were just placeholders because he didn't know what to say. And the group mistakenly took the placeholders, recorded it, and it became a number one hit. So things happen. Jeremiah was a prophet. He wasn't a bullfrog. But Jeremiah began as a prophet in the 13th year of King Josiah. King Josiah was a really good king. Because if you read the history of the people of God, you'll find that there are really good kings and there are really bad kings. There's not much in between. Well, Josiah was one of the good kings. And during Josiah's reign, for most of it, peace and prosperity was throughout the land. But better yet, Josiah helped usher in a revival of the people of God and the worship of God. And so Josiah is always considered one of the best kings. So Jeremiah began prophesying during that time, but what we see today in the passage that Danny just read comes a lot later in Jeremiah's career. Because you see, after Josiah died in battle fighting the Egyptians, fighting against the Pharaoh, his sons took over. Now, Josiah's boys were not quite as good as Josiah. And so things began to unravel rather quickly. And they decided that they didn't need to pay homage to Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. They weren't going to pay the tributes they needed. And so Nebuchadnezzar said, well, if you're not going to pay me, I'm going to squash you. And that's what he did. Now, he didn't destroy the entire city. He didn't level it and kill everybody. But instead, what he did was he said, I'm going to let most of you stay here and live. But I'm going to take your best and your brightest. I'm going to take your leaders. And I'm going to take them back to Babylon. And I'm going to make them stay there, sort of as hostages, to make sure that you guys do what I've asked you to do. And it's to these people that Nebuchadnezzar has taken away that Jeremiah writes. And he writes the letter that we read today. Now, I want you to picture yourself for a moment as one of these exiles. You're taken to a new place that you've never been. You're away from family and friends. You're basically a hostage. What would be going through your mind? Can't wait to get back. Can't wait. If I could just get back to my family, everything would be wonderful. I hope this ends soon because I can't wait to get back. I can't wait to be able to go to the temple. I can't wait to get back so that I can worship God in God's house. I can't wait. I wish I could be there right now. I miss it. So all the prophets that were around the royal court that weren't Jeremiah, they all said, well, this is going to be short-lived. These poor exiles, they're not going to be there very long. God's going to deliver them, and God is going to take care of everything. So they're all excited and all happy, except for Jeremiah. And Jeremiah said, no, that's not what's going to happen. As a matter of fact, it's going to take 70 years. Some of those people that are there are going to die there. Some of those people who have taken away will never see their home again. They're never going to see their family, and worse yet, they're never going to be able to worship in the temple again. But he wrote them this letter. And in this letter, he says something that I think is extremely profound and often overlooked in this passage. Because it is indeed a passage of hope. And what he says to them is, God is where you are. And he says, forget about thinking, when this is over, I will do what I want. When this is over, I will be able to be a whole person again. When this ordeal is finished, I will be able to worship God again. Jeremiah says, no. You're there. God is there with you. Take your children, find them wives, find them husbands, have weddings, celebrate, have a party. Not only that, start being grateful. Pray for the city that's around you. Look at ways that you can find joy now. Because when you look around and you look for God, God is there. God is there in the lives of your children, your grandchildren, in the lives of your friends that are with you. God is there in the lives of those foreigners who have taken you captive. God is with you and God is all around you. Don't hope for a greater, better, more wonderful future. Because your future is now. God is with you now. How many of us get trapped in that kind of a mindset? If I could just get that better job, or if I could just get to retirement, everything will be great. Or if I can just find that wonderful spouse, everything will be wonderful. If I could just. The message of Jeremiah and the message of hope that comes to all of us is God is not here just to fulfill some future promise. God is with you now. God is with each and every one of us. And our hope is built, our hope for the future is built on the present. We're not hoping for some pie in the sky. We're hoping that what God is doing now will continue. That's our hope. That's the message of Jeremiah. That's the message that he gives us, is God is with us now. Don't wait for that one thing to happen. Don't believe that if you can just get down the road a little bit farther, that's where God will be and that's where life will be. Life is now. Life is in all of the people around us. God is with us. Jesus made this promise to his disciples when he said, I will be with you always, even to the ends of the earth. He is reminding us of what Jeremiah was reminding the exiles, is that no matter where we are in life, no matter what's going on, we know that God is with us. For you see, we're about to begin the Advent season next week. You see the pretty greenery and all the hard work that went into decorating the church. We'll begin Advent next week. We begin to celebrate the coming of Jesus. But as we prepare for that season, we need to remember God has always been with God's people. It didn't just start with Jesus, but God has always been with God's people. And because God's people celebrated, because God's people lived in God's presence, lived with God around them, the building on that leads us to Jesus. And Jesus leads us into the future. Because we are the people of God. We don't have to come to a church and find that perfect place to worship. God is with us. Everywhere, every day, all the time. That is the reality. And that is the hope that Jeremiah brought to the exiles. And I hope I bring to you today is that no matter where you are, God is with you. No matter what happens, God is with you. And joy to the world, God is with us. Praise be the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.